Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Everybody, and welcome to Marvel DC Kings. That's right, we're switching things up tonight. I will be your host, B. Willie, since Mr. Ankenbauer would like to just be a commentator.
Yeah.
And as obviously, Mr. Ankenbauer is joining us, and also with us is my brother, Aaron.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
I'm all right, you?
All right, you guys ready to talk some comic book TV news, I guess, here?
Yes.
Series news? All right, let's break it down. Okay, first up, let's talk The Flash. This episode, Monster, I believe is what it was called.
Yep.
Did you like the fact that this is maybe the first time we haven't seen a metahuman villain, I guess, that we've seen Flash up against?
I'm not against it being a non-metahuman character, but I did find, like, just the bullied child super genius thing a little cheesy and over the top.
Yeah, they didn't even really use him, really. What did you think, Brian?
Yeah, when I was watching and you're like, it was funny because the first time I saw it, that's exactly what I thought. Because I was like, there's no cars flipping over. He's not making any kind of dents in the ground. There's no, I was like, they really skimped out on the graphics this time or something's really wrong. So I was able to catch it right from the beginning, but it just, like Aaron said, the 15-year-old, I'm tired of being picked on.
Yeah, it had a very much it's like the more you know,
yeah,
like NBC, like, or
yep,
or now knowing is half the battle, G.I. Joe kind of,
yeah,
feel to,
yeah,
it
was kind of just a weak kind of setup sort of thing. And don't get me wrong, like, you can make the argument it kind of justifies that kind of moment later on with, oh, I almost shot a child and you're okay, let's have a drink thing. But if it's just a catalyst for that, like, it seems excessive.
Well, the other thing was, you know, having all the other... They couldn't do an episode for just Caitlin Snow. And they couldn't do an episode just for the Harrison Wells. They couldn't do an episode just for Barry and... Harry Potter guy. They couldn't have an episode just for that. So they had to fit all that into one. They're like... Well, crap, none of them have a bad guy. Who can we make a bad guy? Like, oh, let's make this like a Saturday morning cartoon thing.
Personally, I think, like, the Caitlin Snow arc in this one was probably, like, the best part of this episode.
I think so. I thought the Harrison Wells thing was pretty weak.
Yeah, it was, right?
Like, right, but I don't think that they could have made the Caitlin Snow...
Like, into, like, the full episode.
Until a full episode.
Not really,
and that's what I'm saying. So they had to try to figure out how to fit all those... kind of twists and turns and story arc kind of things into place in one episode,
mm-hmm,
to set up the next ones.
So if we go with that theory, does that mean that they're having to do this for time constraint? That they have so much story to tell down the road that that's why they're trying to piecemeal all this other stuff?
Yeah, because your season's only 22 episodes long.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually still pretty good for this sort of season,
right? But if you already have 16 or 17 villains that you want to introduce into this season of Flash, obviously I don't know how many there are, but if you want to introduce all those metahumans,
yeah,
as well as having the main story arc of Dr. Alchemy, how do you fit in those little mini arcs throughout the season?
Yeah.
And this kind of felt like the one where they're like, okay, let's put these three into this one. We'll have something to kind of bring them together, but not be a super villain.
Yeah.
Just so they could tell the mini story plot lines.
Uh-huh.
No, no, like, when we were doing that for, what was it, Magenta? Or, like, the one, like, psychic character who had, like, parental abuse sort of thing?
Okay.
Like, I understood that character being in there, like, it kind of fit with the greater thing, but this, it was just like, here's a dude... He's upset, and he's apparently smart enough to make giant holographic monsters that destroy shit.
Well, the monster wasn't destroying anything. It was the power surge that kept going through and pulling the...
Yeah, he was...
Well, still, I mean, like, you're smart enough to do that, and really that's what you do with it. Okay. Like, it was a villain with less backstory than even, like, the one abused psychic character.
Well, it makes you almost wonder if they're going to use this 15-year-old later on down the line as, like, some kind of super genius.
Like, is this their version of, like, Toy Man? Like, cause if that is weak.
Yeah.
Like, that is a horrible version.
Yeah, the whole, like I said, with the cop, Barry's stepdad,
Joe West?
Joe, the whole Joe sitting down talking to him, the whole... This is the more you know moment and all that. I was like, oh, this is so CW for, you know.
Right.
Here's your message, kids. All right. Flash will be on hiatus, I guess, till November 15th.
Right, that's what they said on the thing.
So, no Flash for a little while. Would prefer a better episode to kind of go off on, maybe a little bit more of a cliffhanger episode or something.
Right, the only real cliffhanger in this episode was the Caitlin Frost, the mother telling her, don't use your powers. And as she hears, don't use your powers, all of a sudden you can see it change in her eyes, and then it comes out of her hands, and the whole computer station desk and everything kind of just freeze over.
Yeah.
So, did that come across like it just kind of happened, or was that like just an emotional response of, well, fuck?
Well, I'm not.
Yeah.
I think it was the anger from seeing her mom. Like, that's the response she gets with her mom. And so when she says, you know, don't use your powers under any circumstance, and then she just, it just
it's kind of clicks. Well, thanks, that's helpful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, just kind of, I don't know.
All right.
Although she didn't have the white hair didn't come out every time she used it in this episode, like it did when she was in the shower scene.
Apparently, that is a shower specific response.
I guess. They did say, though, the more she uses it, the less she'll be able to control it or something.
That was the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or is it, like, the more she uses, like, the more the power
she won't
grows.
Be able to conceal it
as
easily. All right, so real quick, let's use the old 1 to 5 scale, I guess, or 1 to 10, however you guys want to use it. What do you think of this Flash?
This one, I would say, was probably, for me, I really liked this series. So I would say this is probably like a 6 or 7 for me out of this series. I wasn't too keen on the Harrison Wells twist where he's stupid and he's just an idea man and he's just the novelist.
A muse.
I didn't care for that.
I mean, pretty much like the entire episode of him, like, is he a fake? Is he out to destroy us? And then it's just like, nope. Just repeating stuff back because he's not sure what he's talking about.
Yeah, I would have much rather have the other Wells back from the other Earth.
Yeah.
But, yep, I would give it like a 6.5, I guess.
Okay, yeah, I would give it, I'd probably give it about the same. I'd give it around a 6. It was okay. I was intrigued by Caitlin Snow, you know, storyline. That's about it.
Yeah. So. Aaron. It's about the same for me. Like, the Caitlin Snow arc in this was really good. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for the Harrison Wells, like, bit on this. I didn't really care for the giant monster thing. Or him, Barry, getting along better with the detective he worked with. Like, none of that really
was cop.
Yeah, like, that didn't really work all that well.
So. No, and he's like, I'm from old money, and I was the rightful heir to the whole thing.
But I was a weird kid, and they didn't like me.
Yeah,
like,
so I wanted to go collect bugs in the garden, so I came here to America.
I think that should just give him a wand and a hood, because he constantly, every time I look at him, that's what I see.
Yes!
You know what the thing is? I don't see that, even though that is his most other prominent role.
Dude, he was standing in the one scene, and he has the tie on, and I was like, all he needs is the damn jacket.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a school for
like, really, they more or less dress him up like Constantine.
Like,
so.
Like every time I see him, it's like, dun, 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 like,
are you from the Fantastic Beasts films?
Yeah,
is that what we're prepping for?
Yeah.
Kind of look that way, really.
Carry over for Malfoy?
I'd much rather have him than the guy they picked, by the way, for the lead. But anyway, all right, so let's move on to Legends of Tomorrow. We had zombies and slaves and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Not really tigers and bears so much. But what'd you guys think of, I guess, Legends of Tomorrow, zombies in meets Civil War?
I thought it was okay for, I guess you could call this their Halloween episode.
Yeah. It kind of came across that way, right? Like, yeah. Part of me is watching this, like, I feel like this should have been on last week.
Exactly.
Like, you should have started a week earlier.
And that's what I was thinking, because I was even, like, I was sitting down watching it, and I'm like, what day was this on? Because yeah,
it was after Halloween.
It was after Halloween. Like, I felt like it should have been the Thursday prior, and I don't know, it felt bland to me. I guess it's because we're getting so many zombie stuff
nowadays. That, I mean, you don't really use the... Like, the coolest scene was the zombie is really just where they cut off its head and she just puts it down. It's like, this is a zombie.
Yeah.
That's the most well-used that character is.
Yeah, they opens its eyes and starts going...
Yeah. But, I mean, we've already had, like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter and Pride Prejudice Zombies, which I actually didn't see the latter, but we've had kind of the Civil War or old-timey... zombie films already, and yeah, it didn't really utilize them all that well.
The scene on the ship with Matt, with what's his name? Is it Mac?
I think it might be Mac.
Is it Mac? It's someone with an M. The fire gun guy.
Fire gun guy. We're really specific here.
We know what we're talking about.
But yeah, that making him the zombie.
I think it's Mick, actually.
Mick, yeah. That's it. So yeah, it just that was the most corny zombie thing I'd seen in a while. It was like they were trying to go for Alien
setting. It's somewhere in between there.
Well, yeah. what they were doing was they were playing on the professor's fear of the zombies. He never watched the zombie movies, so like, if you noticed, every scene on the ship with him was basically the scenario from a zombie movie, like, or any kind of horror movie, for that matter. Slasher film. Like, don't go down the hallway. Don't open the door.
Because
don't walk away. Why did you put down the knife?
There's a lot of things in this episode where it's just like, you kind of just jump over the plot hole to it. Like, so Mick's given, like, a vaccine that should have worked, but it didn't. And then they aerosolize it, and it does. But it never explains why.
Well, I think the first time it didn't work because they tried to put it through his clothes.
Yeah, or...
Did they really?
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that.
I was telling him. I was like, we were watching it.
Just,
I'm like...
You just stabbed his shirt.
Or just soak his shirt with it, because you just kind of put it into his shirt and just...
They do actually explain it. I think he does say at one point that he just needed another dose.
Really?
Is that the justification? Was their justification. It was pretty lame.
Well, then towards the end, it was just like, well, we made sure we gave everyone on the South the vaccine, so you shouldn't have any more zombie problems. Like, how would you know that? Like, what if there's just a rogue one just running around Louisiana? You wouldn't know.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, we noticed a few other holes in the thing, like the lamp of ultimate power.
Apparently they fueled their lamps with napalm back in the
Civil
War.
He throws the small oil lamp down into the center and
those lamps very durable,
right? Nitroglycerin at the very end, right?
Yeah,
and they try to blowing that up, and I was like, oh, look, it's a case of those lamps.
Well, that would have worked better.
Yeah, like,
yeah, apparently.
But yeah, then you have him blow up. All the bodies are still intact from the zombies, but they're dead. And, like, no clothes are damaged.
Yeah, like, there was some burnt bodies. There was some burnt bodies, and then there was some singed stuff, but there was, like, it wasn't anything. Like, it should have been blown to pieces.
Like, so how is that
he
work?
Even should have gotten up. Like,
steel outfit? Yeah.
And, like, and just steel? Away. Like, and, like, and everybody's like, oh. Like, he had nothing on or something.
Yeah.
But instead he gets up, he still has all of his clothes on, he's like, I'm covered in zombie guts. Like, no, you're not.
No, they should have been burnt.
Yeah.
And the zombies at the bottom of the stairwell are into this giant flaming inferno that destroys the entire house. That should have at least burnt up the corpses around him, right?
Right.
All right, I think we've talked enough. Let's just go around. Aaron, what did you think?
5 out of 10, I guess.
All right, I'm going to give it a 3. I really, I didn't get much out of this.
Yeah, this is probably the worst episode of Legends of Tomorrow that we've had thus far through any of the Legends of Tomorrow seasons. Mm. I would probably give it like a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Probably. They tried to do the whole equality thing and touch on that. Well, and
it was a little heavy at points, but at the same time, like, when they're actually going, like, you know, this is kind of the abnormality that should have been corrected in history, like, there's a fair point there. Like, it was a horrible time in American history, so I see their point.
All right, so let's move on to Supergirl. I missed this week's episode, so I'm going to let you guys go at it here. I do have some questions written down, so did you guys like the Fight Club scene, apparently?
Yeah, the underground fight scene, Fight Club run by the...
Roulette,
the Asian chick.
With the snake tattoos.
Yeah. It was okay. I like to not fight. I like to not talk about it, because the first thing you do is you don't talk about Fight Club.
All right, so skipping over that, Ben, then. I thought Roulette was an interesting character.
Like, yeah.
But I think that's really kind of the most I got out of this. Like, most of, like, the Magan-like stuff in this one was actually kind of slow and kind of drawn out. And, like, don't get me wrong, I understand, like, they were saving the whole White Martian bit, like, as a thing to towards later on the season. But, actually, I thought they kind of revealed that a little early. But, overall, it was just kind of slow.
Well, I think what that later twist that we're going to get, he's going to find out that she's a White Martian.
Mm-hmm.
However, she's going to be the White Martian that actually saved...
Yeah, like, she's describing her story earlier on in this episode, where she's like, she was the one who couldn't give or carry out, like, a kill order sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. So I think that was her, and she left the world, or she was banished,
mm-hmm.
and she just came down here, and she knew that he was a green Martian, so she made herself green.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, I don't know, it was...
Either that, or she's just, like, ashamed of being a White Martian because of the whole genocide thing.
Right. Well, I was glad that they did pull her in, just to kind of have that interaction between the two of them.
Because, I actually think she's a good character to introduce. Yeah.
Yep. And I did kind of like the Fight Club scene. It introduced us to more of the more of the aliens and stuff of that nature. So we get to start with seeing. More, they're not metahumans.
Mm-hmm.
They're actual aliens. Yeah. So I like that. I like that. It opens up a lot more broader range than just metahumans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think this episode had, like, a decent scene, like the bar scene where they're out, like, drinking, and, like, just things escalate a little too quickly, and the dude has, like, his arm broken in, like, the arm wrestling match.
Right.
I actually thought that was an interesting scene that kind of built on, like, the was it Draxmite? Character,
yeah,
Draxonite, something like that.
That's Mon-El, isn't it?
Is that what his name is? Mon-El.
Mon-El, yeah.
Yeah,
it's also an L. Okay.
Well, yeah. they're giving him an L.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think he really. He's not, obviously, because he's a Draxomite or Draconite or whatever.
It's like a long, but distant family.
He introduces himself in the last episode as Mon-El, so I.
It's a very similar name.
Yeah, I don't know if the...
It means something different in his language. It means despair.
Well, it was funny because he's like, well, I need a superhero name too. Since you're Supergirl, I can be Superman. And he's like, taken.
Does it seem like this is setting up for him being this, like, show's variant of, like, Superboy,
essentially? And that's what I was thinking.
Because you look at Superboy, he can't fly, and they mentioned that very specifically.
Yeah, like you can't fly, but you can really leap.
Yeah.
And you can blow a lot. I'm like...
Trying to make him into the original Superman concept.
Well, no, Superboy.
Superboy, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, like, I thought... Like, they introduced Cadmus, so I thought that was the route they were going to do to introduce that character, but it really kind of looks like they're just going to go with, just give him a t-shirt, call him Superboy. He's an L, it's fine.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know what he's going to be, but... you're right, introducing Cadmus, but only because I've seen, like, Young Justice...
Yeah.
...would I think that they were going to do something like... Like, the whole Superboy aspect, where it's like a clone. That's what I was like... Ooh, that's going to be interesting. But then they did the whole
Metallo
first, and I was like, well, that was stupid. Why would you do that first?
I'm actually fine with them introducing Metallo first. It's just, I really wish the prosthetics looked better there.
Yeah, or tease the... Since Metallo was able to fight Superman, tease that they got part of his DNA or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, so real quick, gentlemen, I'm going to excuse myself because I haven't seen it yet, but Brian, your rating?
I'm going to give it like a 7 or 8, like a, maybe a 7.5, 8, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, only because it was way better than last week's episode with the whole female president and pushing the agenda and everything else. This episode actually felt like Supergirl, like a episode of like a comic or something. Comic like book, it actually yeah. felt like it was, like they it weren't, yeah, they weren't trying to push anything on us. They were just telling a story, so I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I don't know, I actually thought last week's episode in some ways was a little better. Like, I'd probably give this like a 6.5 out of 5, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or 6.5 out of 10.
6.5 out of 5. That's interesting.
Wow. 6.5 out of 5. Damn.
That's some Catholic math going yeah. on.
There, yeah. So, I don't know. For me, this was actually a weirdly slow episode, even though I do think it introduced, like, Roulette as an interesting character. And pretty much, like, the actual bits of, like, that are just everyday living for Supergirl sort of thing were kind of boring. Like, the journal, or, like, the journalist kind of spin on this episode was really slow, so.
Well, yeah, and I don't know how they're going to speed that up at all. Like, I think they're...
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do about speeding that up. Like, it no. really is something you do have to take your time on it, so.
Yeah.
And, like, it was... just kind of a basic episode. And I think that's true for a lot of the CW shows this week, to be honest.
Yeah, it felt that way.
All right, Brian, you know, Aaron and I have had a hard time getting into Arrow, but I know you watch Arrow, so you want to give us just like a quick recap and, you know, who's been, who you think, I've been hearing rumors of other superheroes being brought into the show, possibility-wise. And
yeah, all this stuff. I would give you a recap, but I didn't even watch this week's either.
Okay.
So none of us watched.
Yeah, so that's...
That was, up to what you've seen, so, how about that?
Well...
Or what's the best...
I don't know. They introduced Ragman, who is the Jewish superhero from Raven Rock or whatever, Craven Rock or whatever it is. He seems okay. They introduced Wild Dog. He seems like a Mexican version of Casey Jones.
Okay. It's yeah, like, I can see that.
It's like a Mexican version of Casey Jones without the hockey stick, but he wears the hockey mask and he
yeah.
shoots guns and stuff. They have the new Black Canary on there. Whatchamacallit came back. The black guy. Diggle. John Diggle.
John Diggle. Yeah.
He came back this episode. I saw that part. Kind of watched the beginning of it, I watched. Mr. Terrific is now on there. So that's another fairly big comic name. Person.
Yeah.
I don't know who what villains are going to be bringing in, and I didn't get to watch the whole episode, so I don't know if Prometheus came back in this episode or not.
Yeah.
So, for me, it.
What's the draw, I guess, for you? I mean.
Well, for me, Arrow is the one that started everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those, you watch Arrow because it's not Flash universe; it's called the Arrowverse. And everything kind of revolves around Arrow.
Because it's a flagship show.
Because it was the flagship. It was the one that started all these other ones that come out.
Yeah.
So that's why I watch it. But I didn't watch it this week because it hasn't had the same pull. Like this year's flashbacks are him with the Russian mob. Hmm. Whereas opposed to years past, it's always been the island and what he did on the island and the mystics on the island and they brought in Constantine and, you know, it's all the cool stuff from the island. And this year, it's the Russian mob.
Is it the island from Lost? Is that where he was?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
But this year, he's got the island. Not the island, but he meets back up with his Russian friend from the island. But it's all taking place in Russia.
Yeah, okay.
And it's all about him becoming part of the Russian mob. To kill this guy who killed so-and-so, and he promised he would kill him, and it just has drug on and on. I'm waiting for the twist. There's got to be a twist coming somewhere, but so far it hasn't happened. It's gotten very violent.
Yeah.
Whereas before, where Oliver used to... Like, in the very beginning, it was, you failed this city, and then he would shoot him. Mm-hmm. And then it turned to, well, you can't go around killing people. And then he would be, you failed this city, and he would save, you know, like just tie him up and give him to the police. And he's back to this year, just straight up hardcore, just
killing people.
And, you know, he even shot Wild Dog in the leg twice and with an arrow and said, walk that off. And I mean, he's getting to this.
He's becoming kind of dark, like a darker superhero.
So I don't know. I was going to ask you guys, why aren't you watching?
There just never has been enough draw for me. I don't know. Maybe it's because I liked Arrow and Smallville, the Smallville version, mm-hmm. and I liked the Smallville verse, and I don't know. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's just a personal grudge against Arrow. I really love the Flash, though.
What would pull you into the Arrow? What if they introduced Green Lantern?
Green Lantern would pull me in, one of the bigger superheroes with some
nice backstory. They have all those comics together.
I'd like to have a backstory and something that would really pull me in. You know, I like that kind of stuff. The telling the bigger story within the smaller story kind of thing.
What about you, Aaron?
For me, I never I watched the pilot and just never got into it, and then by the time I think it hit, or the Flash started up, it was already, in, season 5, season 6, near there?
What, Arrow?
Yeah.
No, season 3, I think.
Was it season 3 when Flash already came out?
Yeah, because Flash is on, this is, season 3 of Flash?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're on season 6 of Arrow.
Oh, okay. So, I got into the Flash pretty easily, very quickly, but I never really had a draw to go into, the whole Arrowverse sort of thing. And I think part of that is just, I enjoy The Flash, but it seems like it's one of the better shows on CW. So I never really had a draw to going towards Arrow.
Well, what's funny is, the way I look at it, it started out with Arrow. Arrow started everything, and it was the Arrowverse, and, all these shows were going to spin off of Arrow.
Mm.
But now all of a sudden it looks like it's almost shifted because Flash is so easily watchable and so fast-paced, and there's a lot of humor in it, that it looks like it's, the center of the Arrowverse has kind of shifted more towards the Flash, because you had that Flash and Supergirl crossover, even crossover networks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you got Flashpoint that affected the other ones. So I don't.
Well, Flash is one of the big DC superheroes, too, compared to Arrow, which up until Arrow came along, not a lot of people knew Green Arrow other outside of Smallville.
Well, I mean, you saw him as a Justice League
character. Justice League character, maybe, unless you're a real hardcore comic book fan.
Maybe. He was one of the original Super Friends.
He's
really?
Yeah. I mean, reality, he's Batman with arrows, right? I mean, that's pretty much...
Well, I mean, that was essentially, how some people described even, the first couple seasons of Arrow, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he was almost like the Dark Knight.
It's just what they wanted to do was a Batman show, but they couldn't actually do Batman, so they
did a Green Arrow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's why he ended
up. But that's what Oliver Queen's story is.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This was pretty much the origin of the Ghost Rider, or at least the Robbie Ray's origin story of Ghost Rider. Let's just dig right to the spoiler alert part. It looks like it was Johnny Blaze who may have shown up and given him his powers.
So he just transferred his powers, or just
didn't transfer, just created another one. That's what it looks like.
I was
like.
Not aware Ghost Rider create more Ghost Riders.
I guess so. At least now, anyway. At least a Ghost Rider, whether it's Johnny Blaze or not. It kind of looked like it. He came in on a motorcycle. Had a leather jacket on. I don't know. What do you guys think? Yes or no on Johnny Blaze?
Well, it's a possibility. I had read something online that they thought that it was possibly... He claims it was the deal with the devil.
Right.
But when you see him pull up on the motorcycle with the black and the walks over with a flaming skull, and you're like...
Looks an awful lot like Ghost Rider, yeah, the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was if that's what they were going for, if they were just going for that the devil rides a motorcycle or whatever. But I don't think the devil would have pulled the kid out of the car.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was. I liked it. I liked this episode a lot. Actually, a lot more than I thought I was going to. I don't know. I didn't necessarily hate the Ghost Rider movies. The second one was horrible, but the first one I didn't think was that bad, necessarily.
It's one of those sort of Marvel films that's really easy to forget it happened.
Yeah. I kind of dug the first one, though, I'll be honest.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know. I kind of like the idea of bringing Johnny into it, and the fact that there are two Ghost Riders, and there's been, three or four in the comics? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I liked it. I mean, I don't know if I really cared for was the fact that his uncle was the one that caused...
Oh, that he ends up wanting to be the god that can create matter out of his own hands and stuff like that.
Right, and he was the reason that the hit went out on...
On his own kids.
On his nephews.
Yeah.
Because he brought it upon themselves and blah, 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 blah. It was like...
Yeah, that was a twist I didn't see coming.
But that was a weird twist. And he was telling Coulson that he had been planning this for a long time, and he knew he eventually one day would be able to find the book. And
it was really different. There was no hint at it at all. Usually with these kinds of twists, there's at least something that you can grasp onto, at least make you start thinking that way.
Did it come across like as a twist for the sake of having a twist?
In a way, yeah, it felt kind of forced, because usually when you get this twist, they at least drop, the character will drop a hint that he may possibly be evil, or, you know, but this up until the twist happens where he says, you know, where he basically admits that, you know, this was all his master plan, so to speak, there's no mention of it at all. There's no hint of it. There's no mention of it. He's portrayed as the victim.
Well, there is. You could tell he was part of the group.
He was portrayed as the outsider.
He was in jail because he beat up the other guy to the point where he didn't. So it was like, why did he beat him up?
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, he was the way the show was going with it. They were portraying him as the victim that. You know, correct. Of circumstance and blah, blah, blah. Right, wrongfully accused. You know, that whole.
Yeah.
Vibe anyway.
And then when he did the very end of it, when that wave did go through everything, and then he comes out and he creates out of nothing, he creates the carbon or the piece of coal or whatever it was they created.
Mm-hmm.
They show you everywhere everybody was, and Coulson's not there.
Right, they've all disappeared.
Including
the Ghost Rider, or Robbie Reyes.
So I was like,
I wonder if they're in those boxes or something.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was curious how that's going to play.
Yeah,
play out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're gone until November 29th as well.
Yeah, they're gone until after Black Friday.
I thought that November used to be sweeps month. I must have missed something. They must have changed the game or something, the ratings game.
Yeah, I mean
it had to have changed. I mean, just because not only are you having more streaming services, you're having, you know, more. You know, cable networks, like just how you're rating things now has to be, or not rating things, but like just determining like how popular a show is. Like there has to be just more complicated math involved, right?
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been one of the ones, like one of the off ones that does like 4 or 5 episodes, and then they go 4 or 5 weeks without a new one, and then they do 4 or 5 episodes, and then they go.
Does that just allow it to go like almost year round?
Well, it allows them to put their last 5 episodes
in May,
in sweeps. So it's not like a show 2 off a week, show 1 off a week. It is like the last 6 weeks of the season. It's all back to back to back to kind of build up. However, the past 2 seasons, they haven't done this main one. They've done a big break in the center and done Agent Carter.
That's true.
In the middle of it, and they canceled Agent Carter.
Right. So there's nothing. There's no mid-season replacement this year.
Right.
So they're going to play the game. Yeah. All right. Oh, let's see. So real quick, let's go around. I'll start off. I'll give it an 8. 8 out of 10. I thought the Ghost Rider part was enough for me. I love that.
Right. You didn't. I know we were talking earlier about the, you know, how they put in the.
Oh, the Fox News thing.
The Fox News thing.
Yeah, I got it. At least this time I didn't watch the news before I watched this, so I wasn't quite as...
Right, they didn't put in like their opinion.
Ready to... Yeah, I got the little Coulson remark there.
What was the Fox News thing?
Hey, Coulson and the director going back and forth, and the director says, well, he's a murderer, he's a killer, he's blah, 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 and he's like, well, that's a little Fox News, isn't it?
Just pretty much saying that you're being a tad hyperbolic.
Yeah, you're over exaggerating. Yeah. Exactly. So there was that. Brian, what's your
I felt like this episode, I wanted more, so I'm going to say this was like an 8 or 9, definitely.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, just because, like, as you're some of the ones when you're watching, you're like, okay, it's kind of drawn out, or okay, we've already seen this before. Where watching this one, if I watched the whole thing, and you're sitting there like, and it's like, you know, we'll return, blah, 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 and I'm like, ah, come on. There needs to be, like, a whole another half hour of this show that...
Right, I want to see more, yeah.
But to go back to your point, it felt like this kind of phoned it in, the ending. There was no, like, giant suspenseful thing that happened. Yeah. It was just he came out, held his hand out, and then they showed the three pictures of the people not there anymore.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of the Big Bad from last season. What was it?
Damien Dark?
No, not Damien Dark.
From DC?
Wrong series, wrong comic book. The Hydra monster. What was his name?
Grant?
Yeah, Grant's alter ego or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that kind of a villain to me. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Aaron, where would you rank this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No idea. Didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't watch it. Oh, sorry.
No, I haven't caught Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. since the first season, I think.
Oh, copy that. All right, then. Moving on, let's talk a little Gotham. Brian, I know you didn't get a chance to see this episode.
I watched the end of it.
You did see. Okay, so you at least saw the elevator scene.
Yeah.
So I kind of dug this episode a little bit from that perspective, at least when we went to the subconscious of, like, Jim Gordon.
His whole psychedelic trip sort of thing.
Yeah, it's been done before on cartoons and stuff, but I think this is the first time we've seen it kind of in a live action, at least
on the television. I think we've probably seen a couple movies here and there.
In the movies, but not on the small screen, I don't think.
I thought it was done really well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some examples of where it has been done, but I can't think of them off the top of my head, so...
Yeah. But still, I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed that whole...
Yeah, especially the ending where you, like, have him having, like, the conversation with his father, and, like, that whole, like, him kind of trying to face his inner demons aspect of it. It was an interesting sort of twist on it.
Well, yeah, it was...
And then...
Yeah.
Though it is weird when you, like, have, like, the ring thing that comes up, and then you have that twist at the end, it's like... That's a weird connection sort of thing, and that might be where it might jump the shark a little, but well, otherwise.
I really dug that because that's his redeeming quality. That's what brings him back, but in reality, is that very symbol actually a poison in Gotham? You know, is that an evil thing? Well, even though he looks at it one way through his father, but is this part of a... organization that is necessarily not exactly on the up and up.
Well, it's
not
an organization, it's his dad.
Well, it's his dad, but the ring, the guy we see at the end with the ring on, I don't think it's his dad.
It is his dad.
You think so?
Yeah, his dad left.
I thought his dad died.
No, his dad left.
Oh, okay, so that is Jim Gordon's
dad. That's going to be Jim Gordon's dad, part of the owls, the running.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure if that was Jim Gordon's dad or if that was just like a family member or something.
No, I think it's going to be his dad.
If that's the case, then how does he... Has the old man have the ring and Jim Gordon have the ring? There was just two rings.
Yeah, probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it might be part of a bigger, like an organization ring.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I would just,
you know,
it's
like part of a...
It's a very basic symbol sort of ring, so yeah, it does come across that way.
Yeah.
It might be Jim Gordon's dad.
Yeah, like, I think it is, only because the way they were talking, and he's like, it's finally coming to light, and we're going to have to face blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It just felt like he was talking like they all thought I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that moment's jumping the shark a little bit, but that's Gotham, so it's what it is. But yeah, I mean, the psychedelic trip itself was actually just a fun kind of ride and kind of a nice twist for the show.
I thought so. I thought that was definitely the highlight. The love triangle thing is kind of...
I don't know. I was actually kind of just amazed, like, Penguin went very passive-aggressive with it, just...
Yeah.
Like, that was a very subtle move for Penguin, who I would have just assumed just would have shot at somebody.
Yeah.
Know? Like, but instead he's like, oh, I just need a book on this thing, and, oh, yeah, you met Ed. Yeah, I'm so glad. He's been so down since he left Arkham, and it's just... Like, that was... That was weirdly passive aggressive.
And the fact that she's still around tells me I still think she's a plot by Butch to undermine
Enigma. I assume so, but like, there's some parts of her personality, like, I don't think that would come from just being an actress. Like, she's definitely educated enough to.
It could be that.
At least play the role.
If she's not, then they are grabbing on an opportunity that I thought they missed last season when they killed Kristen Kringle off. Because I thought, because she seemed a little psycho and he was psycho, and I was like, oh, okay, so we're going to have like a
Riddler couple.
A Riddler couple, which I thought was kind of an interesting idea. Because you've got the Harley Quinn, the Joker, so why not
create... Like, actually trying to create Riddler up as, like, a bigger thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, how you have, like, the almost Joker follower sort of thing. Like, almost having a Riddler gang down the line.
Down the line, or at least have, you know, Riddler has, like, his Harley Quinn, you know, his version of whatever that would look like.
Okay.
So, if they are seizing on that, I like that idea.
It's an interesting idea, I mean, especially because you look at someone like Harley Quinn, who actually did come out of the animated series, who wasn't originally a comic book character. It might be interesting to kind of throw...
Yeah,
a different variant of that on screen.
And it was because we haven't seen it before. I'm totally cool with, you know, them doing whatever they want with.
That's one of the things with Gotham. It's just so far removed from a lot of other incantations of the Batman universe. It really is. It does allow them the freedom to kind of go with whatever direction they want to.
Where they
want to
go.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting when the leader of the Owls met with Penguin, and then he had no idea who she was, and she never really answered the question, and then he's like. Got down to the table and said, did you see that woman that I was talking to? And then all of a sudden, like, Mad Hatter comes in with a gun and kind of disrupts that conversation. But it was like, she's like, we'll be in touch when we want to be in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a nice moment as well. Though I feel like once we're going into the Mad Hatter scene, like, that seems like that squashed, like, a real opportunity to actually do, like, a highlight for that this episode.
I will say one thing with Mad Hatter. I think this might be the end of the Mad Hatter arc, but at least they gave us more than two episodes, like,
Oh, it's not.
You don't think so? Is he back next week?
Yeah, yeah. They on the preview. It showed.
I didn't see the preview.
They where he interacts with the commish.
Yeah, he seemed very happy about that.
And like, he when the commish holds him down, and he sees the thing in his eye, and he says,
"Well, that's in the episode."
Right. But he says, "You have her blood in you."
Yeah, my sister.
How wonderful! And he starts laughing. And then the next
question: at what point does like the Mad Hatter start talking only in rhymes? Because when you first see him the first couple of episodes, that is not the case. Well, but it progressively gets more and more.
Well, I think it's weird. He's transforming though, because the sister's death is the traumatic event that's pushing.
Like, snaps him.
Yeah.
But not like he was really that sane or.
No, he was obviously very demented to begin with. But this is. You know,
I don't know, but like, do you feel like it kind of ruined an opportunity? Like, he has this entire like last vial of blood that he can use to poison all of like upper society in Gotham, and he just gets stopped beforehand. Like, and I was, it doesn't show what happens to the blood. Maybe it goes into.
I think Gotham's got enough crazies running around right now. You don't really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, out of all the people that escaped from Arkham, we really haven't. Done much with them in a while.
No, it's basically just in the and they're calling it Mad City is the name of the. So obviously, Mad Hatter is at least on the first half of the season. It's going to be heavily.
And don't get me wrong, I am really enjoying the Mad Hatter arc. I actually feel like this feels like the most Batman-esque kind of characters we've really had.
Yeah, it's as close to the Mad Hatter. It's a nice touch on the Mad Hatter.
Oh, it's like actually a really good variant of it. Yeah. Like, this is probably one of the more interesting villains for the season.
Yeah, what I find humorous is the fact that they tried to make the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, and pulled some of that stuff in.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, the Mad Hatter wasn't anything like the Mad Hatter from the comics.
You would go around quoting Wonderland, but that'd been about it. From the animated series, anyway. He would go around saying, you know, different, you know, lines from the book and stuff like that, but... Yeah,
yeah, but he didn't have a sister, and he didn't set up the tea party, and he didn't, you know. But then again, we're just watching the animated series, you know, Batman the animated series for that. But and he still kind of, he still kind of looked like the Mad Hatter in that series, I guess.
Yeah, it was just in the animated series. Like,
but didn't he have the card? Like, didn't he have the cards or something that he would put in the people's heads to make
them?
Yeah, that was how he mind controlled people.
And that's where he found somebody look like Alice, and made her do his bidding, kind of similar.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, Aaron, where would you give this episode of Gotham a ranking?
8 out of 10.
Out of 10, yeah, I'll go with the same. I'll say 8, 8.5 even. I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. Even the emo relationship between...
Oh, Selene and Bruce, where it's just like, I'm uncomfortable with how this relationship works. He's like, yeah, it's natural. And they're just like, okay, you want to slice the cake?
Okay.
Yeah, it's very low-key and kind of
corny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Your butler overdid it. I made it all. And you stood me up.
Like, very much a woman there. Yes. Batman, yeah.
Yeah, like, damn, Batman.
All right, so let's transition from the TV news world to the movie news world.
Yeah, I would give it an 8.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right, you saw half the episode. I'm sorry. Brian, you're up.
You're fine, go ahead.
Okay. You didn't want to host. Your opinion doesn't count.
I know.
That's right, damn
it. I didn't want to host. I can't even comment. Damn it.
Damn it. Penalty. No.
Penalty.
All right, so you give it an 8?
Yeah, I'll give it an 8, too.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go from TV news to movie news. New Wonder Woman trailer just dropped. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When they first mentioned that there was going to be a Wonder Woman movie, I was not very excited about it, honestly. I didn't think they could do a really good job with Wonder Woman, but so far I've been pleasantly surprised, especially with this movie and all the trailers I've seen.
Yeah, the trailers look amazing so far.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we actually see a lot more speaking roles. We see a lot more other characters kind of introduced as well.
Yeah.
Like, you have the one lady with the, like, chemical weapons and, like, the prosthetic face mask thing.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a very interesting villain.
Very interesting. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
This new trailer helps shore up a lot of the, like, the issues that we had originally. If you remember when Gal Gadot got picked to do Wonder Woman, everybody's like, yeah, sure, she looks like, you know, like she could look the part, but how is she going to be on acting? Because other things she's been in, she's been really bland and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, before this, she was pretty much just in the Fast and the Furious films, right?
Right, that was her main role, but she was in a couple other, like, off roles.
The smaller roles.
Yeah, but then those were, she was really bland in those, and it was, people had concerns. Watching these trailers and stuff, showing, it seems like it's done really well. I was talking with Aaron before we started this podcast. My only concern is that music that she has, her theme music.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that not every fight scene do they play that music over and over again.
Batman versus
like
Superman.
Like what Batman, when she did her main time to fight.
Yeah.
And they did.
All right, but if we're being honest, that was the highlight of Batman versus Superman.
Right, like
that moment was,
I love that
badass
music, though. I ain't gonna lie.
No, no. And like I told him, I said, I don't mind if they do it in the very beginning, like the theme, and they do it at the very end of the movie, like the credits, and they do it in the main fight scene.
Yeah.
But if they do it every time she, like...
It's just that Kill Bill moment.
Yes, like, if they do it every time she, like, pulls out her lasso or jumps a wall or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
she does...
Like,
I don't want
to... I don't know. Actually, I think that sounds kind of funny. Like, if it's just, like, someone says something nasty to her, she grabs her sword, and all of a sudden you hear the music.
I know, you're like, here.
And it just cuts away.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no.
I wouldn't mind if they hint at it, like they use the drums. The drums are the best part of that.
Well, no, and that's what I was telling him. I liked everything up until, but it's
a tonal shift. I will give you that.
Is that like the whole way all the way through is all good, and then it goes. I'm like, oh my god, stop already, stop! I'm getting on my nerves.
I don't know. I actually really like that they're kind of giving Wonder Woman a theme, because I think that music is really badass.
I do too. It really captures the whole Amazon woman kind of.
Yeah, like there's definitely a sort of like running into battle sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I like everything up until that one part in the music.
Oh, really? You don't like that part? I like
that's,
that. I like
well, thing. I don't mind it, but I don't want to hear it all the time.
It
and
does get stuck in my head. I'll
yes.
Admit that.
And it has been, I was telling Aaron, it's almost as bad as the Death Star alarm that went off in that first trailer we were watching.
Not.
It was like, brr, brr, brr.
No, that is
like,
so much
worse.
I love that.
Wait, you love the sirens?
Yes,
really?
Yeah, it's in our spoiler alert.
Yeah, he does.
Thing. Why?
It's Star Wars, dude. That is Star
it's
Wars.
It's a loud, repetitive beeping.
Who cares? That's Star. It's like when a lightsaber turns on. It's the same thing, man.
So wait,
this is
pretty much as long as the Star Wars movies does it. It can just be as annoying as possible. Is
yep.
that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's saying that Darth Vader could run on the screen and pull out his lightsaber, and it goes.
I would never do that. But
you don't anyway. Think so?
Wait, what if he just like runs
Imperial March? Yes.
Yeah.
He just like turns on his lightsaber and he just goes, just just rolls around like a whip instead of an actual lightsaber.
Now you're just pulling from what lightsaber? Family Guy now. All right.
Well, actually, it. I think I'm pulling a bit from Spaceballs, but
the shorts. I hate it when my shorts gets twisted. All right, so let's move on. Also opening this weekend, guys, the next big Marvel movie, Doctor Strange. I'm pretty excited. This looks like, Aaron, I know you've already seen it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's awesome, okay. Yeah. Brian, I know, I'm sure you share. No, not so much.
I'm not really looking forward to it. I mean, I'm going to see it, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not one of the ones that I'm just like, wow, I have
to. Visually, it's amazing.
Like, yeah, and that's what I figured. And for me, it feels like Marvel looked at Inception and decided they were going to do a movie about Inception, but they're going to call it Doctor Strange. One of the guys, my lead at work, he's really big into those things, too. He actually went to San Diego Comic-Con, and he's really big into all this stuff. And he goes on the first show on Thursdays to almost every movie, and this is the first one he didn't. He even goes to, like, the movie marathons when they, like, did, like, for Avengers, and they did... Mm. All the Captain Americas and everything else.
Yeah.
He goes to all those.
Okay.
And this is the first one he didn't go to, and he's like, I just wasn't that excited about it. It just didn't
appeal to him.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
We're probably getting to the phase where not only have we had a lot of Marvel films going up, but anything post, like, Civil War, I think you're going to have the issue of how does Marvel top it? Because that's really you looking, like, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Civil War. That's kind of the thing Marvel's been doing, is like, we have a bigger cast and bigger fight scenes, and this is kind of going back to a standalone film.
I think I didn't like Civil War.
What?
Not as much as I thought I would have. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I loved
it. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was fantastic. I like Winter Soldier way better.
I don't know. For me, it's just one of the things, I think that's going to be an issue for Marvel going forward, is you have like these giant, you know, 60 cast things going forward, and then you're still going to want to introduce characters in standalone films. And, like, there's no other Marvel heroes that really step in outside of a few things here and there. And it's not like a main storyline thing. So I think that's going to be a thing for something like Doctor Strange, is you don't have that giant cast that's going into it the same way.
Right.
That being said, in terms of, like, Marvel standalone films, does it have some of the same patterns as the others? Sure, but it is actually really good. Like, it's probably one of the better standalones.
So I'm excited because I think it's going to expand the Marvel Universe. So, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy did, they took us out into space. This thing's going to take us deep into the mystics. And
I'll skip that bit because I don't want to spoil it.
I'm sure. But that's why I'm excited, because I think it's going to add a whole new element to Guardians of the Galaxy, or not Guardians of the Galaxy, but
to the Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe, the Avengers series, even. Mm. Just to have that whole mystic thing. One of my favorite characters from DC is actually Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
And he's basically Doctor Strange's his equivalent, so.
No.
I think so, but anyway.
His name's Doctor.
Well, that, and they're both like the mega magical characters.
Magical,
of that universe.
Mystical,
Mr. Doctor. That's strange. Yes, it is. But who am I to judge?
They say in the.
I do have a question, Aaron.
Huh?
Is there a lot of comedy in it?
There actually is a good bit.
Good. Okay. Then I might be okay seeing it. Because,
like, there's more than you would expect from the trailers.
Good.
Okay. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's going to expand big time. I think it's going to open up a whole new avenue for different films and different kind of ideas. So
right. Oh, and one thing that Aaron did bring up was the fact that there are two extra credit scenes, post credit scenes, one in the middle and one at the end. So be sure to stick around if you go see it in the theater.
Yeah. Good point, Brian. Good point. All right, another trailer. The Batman, the full Batman trailer, Lego Batman, I should say, Lego Batman full trailer dropped. Still pretty damn funny to me.
Yeah.
Kind of cute. Definitely gonna probably take my daughter to see it. It's a good.
I think something I find kind of funny about it is, like, you pretty much have Will Arnett playing Batman, and then they cast Michael Cera as playing the Robin in this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, like, an Arrested Development fan, it's a fun sort of reunion sort of thing.
Yeah. It looked pretty funny. Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, that character in the Lego movie was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how many spoofs they have.
Yeah.
Because, like, even watching this trailer, and he's talking about how Batman is his arch nemesis, and then the Joker character goes, Superman's not your enemy, and he's like, oh, well then I don't have any enemies then, and I have just some like unforgettable people or whatever he says.
Yeah, he makes a joke like I fight around.
Yeah, yeah. And then you see the Joker get upset about it, and then you have Barbara Gordon as Batgirl.
Yeah.
Well, she's actually playing like Commissioner Gordon in this, right? Like, is that actually how they cast her?
I just noticed that I knew it was Barbara Gordon. I don't know if they cast her as Commissioner because
she's working like as the police force angle of it in the trailer.
Yeah, because she did in the other Batmans too. She, like, she was Commissioner's daughter who also kind of worked in the police avenue stuff as a cop and stuff. So, however they decided to cast her, but you know, just seeing Robin change into his other outfit and
the, what was it, reggae man?
Yeah,
lose the pants.
And he lost the pants and the reggae hat, and that's why it looks the way it does. And he's like, "Well, I'll just get my uniform." He's like, "No, no, that's okay. You probably don't have your." And he's like, "Under your outfit, that's perfect."
Yeah, like when Batman's like, "I totally can't look you in the face right now."
Yeah,
I also like the part where he goes, "You have to learn to live life without seatbelts," and then later in the trailer, he's like, I'm just going to hold my arm right here for right now.
I think that
now.
Was the last trailer, wasn't it?
No, it was in this
was
one.
Was it this one?
Yeah, yeah. I like the one where he's like, they're like, why would you build this with only one seat? He's like, well, last I checked, I only take up one seat.
He's like, I only have one butt, don't I?
Yeah. So funny.
Good stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's that over-the-top egotistical character that Arnett does really well,
mm-hmm.
and it really works for the Batman universe in this case.
Yep.
Or as a parody of it, anyway.
Yeah. I like when the Robin goes up and he's like, hello, secret camera. He's like, you fear having a family and being blah, 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 blah. You should really take ownership of the...
of your son.
Of your... No, it wasn't your son. It was your adoptive... what do you say? However they put
the
it.
The orphan you adopted.
Yeah, orphan. Yeah, the orphan that you adopted. And he's like, oh, man.
He's and then being sarcastic.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you see he's bouncing around the walls and everything, and then he's like, hello, secret camera.
Well, that, and I mean, there's also that one bit where it actually does show him as Bruce Wayne, like, following Barbara Gordon's, like, I want the police force to work with Batman. He's like, does a spit take. He's like, this is a horrible idea.
Yeah, this is a horrible idea.
All like, right. Even just from the trailer, there's a lot of really funny parts, so it hopefully, if it's not all in the trailer, it should be a pretty decent
I think it'll make quite a bit of money. It'll probably make more money, I think, than the Lego movie even did.
Yeah, I could definitely see it doing that.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Deadpool, not only we just learned last week it lost its director, now the composer, Junkie XL, which did the first movie, helped with the music, he's out now as well.
Did we actually get a reason on this one? Like, I know there was a justification for the director leaving.
The composer left because the director left. And he said, if he's out, I'm gone.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So it's more fallout from, I guess...
The director leaving?
Yeah.
So it's all Ryan Reynolds' fault.
All Ryan Reynolds.
When everybody said that the first one was stayed together because Ryan Reynolds, blah, 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 and all this and that,
yeah,
the second one's going to fall apart because of Ryan Reynolds and blah, 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 blah. Because that's what it feels like.
Is well, I mean, that's a legitimate fear. I mean, if this movie sucks, will there be a Deadpool 3?
I doubt it.
If it falls apart.
It depends. Because of how low the budget is for the Deadpool film so far, for the first Deadpool film in comparison to the other superhero films, it could continue going on at a lower budget in the same way you have horror movies that go on and on and on, because they're low budget and they make enough
to cover.
Yeah. So...
But we're going to lose the quality, though. That's the thing, you know.
I think if it sucks bad enough, you'll lose Ryan Reynolds as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Reynolds really wanted to do this because of how bad Deadpool turned out in that one Wolverine film,
right?
Yeah.
And then
so
was that a fake story or a real story that they cast Miley Cyrus as the Deadpool cast?
I did not hear that.
I did not hear that rumor.
It'd be funny, but I don't know.
Yeah. I hope there's no truth to that. All right. Well, while you research, Brian, let's move on to... so Suicide Squad has apparently made quite a bit of money. and exceeded estimates worldwide. So you guys, at least that's what Time Warner is claiming. So in your mind, would you call Suicide Squad a success, Aaron?
Financially, maybe. I mean, it probably made its budget back, if nothing else.
Yeah.
If you look at a lot of movies now, they're making almost as much, if not double, what they are in foreign than they are in domestic. So,
right.
Most films are doing pretty well. In regards to like how good a movie it was okay. Like we did a whole thing on it.
Review.
You can go check that out if you're interested.
Yeah.
And it was a fun summer movie, but it wasn't groundbreaking or anything.
I don't think it was. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't fantastic by any means, but
yeah,
I felt it was just fine for a movie. I mean, it wasn't horrible by any means, and it stayed in the theaters, and it proved one of the four Midwest guys really wrong about it, but we won't go into that.
little jab there.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed the movie. My daughter really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
I think it, like what you said, it played really well into that whole teenage audience. They knew what they were going for when they showed it.
Yeah.
They marketed it really well to that.
Yeah.
And it didn't come across as anything different than that.
In fact, this announcement to me is like, yeah, I almost feel like they're trying to justify to themselves as well to the fans for a sequel to me. This is like, this is a success, so.
Well, I think they're already going to have a sequel.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. I think this is their way, their PR way of. The movie's a success, so.
Oh no, I think it's another jab. It's a jab at, like, Disney and Marvel.
Yeah.
Saying, look how productive we were to this movie that you guys said was going to suck.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still. I don't know how that's comparing to like other Marvel films, but it did okay financially.
Oh, it did way more than okay.
Yeah.
It blew out a lot of them. It blew out a lot of movies. Yeah.
All right. So also in their press release, DC TV. Is apparently a $1 billion business.
I could see that.
So,
I mean, especially with more merchandising going around it as well.
And when you think about the production level on a TV series compared to a movie and how much cheaper it is, and if this thing is making...
Well, I mean, that's a changing thing, isn't it?
It is, with Netflix and whatnot.
Yeah.
But just looking at it from a TV perspective, purely, and if it's making $1 billion, like they claim it is... Do you guys think we're going to see some more series? Do you think CW is going to create even more?
I don't know.
Spinoffs per se.
It's possible, but I'm not sure if CW wants to carry all the series of DC. In the same way, you look at Netflix, and they don't necessarily want to carry just all Marvel shows.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be other things, like there's a Star Wars Netflix things coming, but that's beside the point. But. What do you think, Brian? Do you think we'll see even more DC because to try to capitalize on the success? Maybe a Green Lantern TV show?
You won't ever see Green Lantern. I mean, you might see Green Lantern show up on some of the shows, but you'll never see a Green Lantern show because it'll take too much effects.
I don't know. To be honest, I'd love for them to bring back the Green Lantern cartoon they have on Cartoon Network. That show was amazing.
Oh, no. I'm all for that, but I'm saying, like, I was thinking live action.
Oh, yeah. Live action would be harder.
Live action, because it would be too much CGI, so we take every episode.
In film form, that's hard to do.
Every episode would cost too much to make.
They done a pretty good job with Flash. Flash is
kind of
heavy CGI.
Yeah, but Flash has a lot of close-ups when he's running, or green screen stuff, whereas, you know, with Green Lantern, you have all the constructs that he does with his ring, and stuff that they have to interact with, as opposed to just running in front of. I think if they did do one, maybe they do like a Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm. Blue Beetle doing really well on CW.
Blue Beetle series, or...
Either that or have them be part of like the Legends of Tomorrow or something like that.
Yep. One thing I wouldn't mind seeing would definitely be like an Aquaman underwater type.
Like an Atlantis kind
yeah.
of feel.
Mm-hmm. Even if it wasn't strictly underwater. Mm-hmm. If they did like Atlantis was underwater, like under the dome or something,
kind of like a Stargate kind of thing.
Yeah, like so you can
hear that, or he lives on a beach city sort of thing.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean. Maybe they even do like the pre Wonder Woman, Themyscira Amazons kind of show.
I think that'd be really hard to do because I think you'd get a really really close to like Hercules or Xena sort of vibe from that.
That wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. None of those shows did really well in the 90s, and
they did well in the
90s. Or they do a Wonder Woman.
Well, sure, they're corny as hell, but I'm just.
Or they do a Wonder Woman origin TV show where it's like they show her being born or whatever, and then it's like her as a kid.
The young
Wonder Woman.
The young adventures of Wonder Woman, or the adventures of young Wonder Woman.
I don't know. Like, if you're going to do something like that, like, you already set up the JSA, so you could kind of do a spinoff of that if you wanted to.
Or you could do,
you know, kind of like a Young Justice kind of revamp sort of thing, or a Teen Titans show.
I wouldn't mind seeing a JSA on television. I could see that possibly working.
I mean, it's already something they've kind of done episodes on, even with, like, Legends. So it's something they could jump into if they really wanted
to. Yeah, and if they did that, it would definitely be one they could do crossover episode. If they were looking to do, like, a 5-part crossover. I mean, like, you're getting to the point now, if CW starts picking up more of these and they put them in the same universe, that's a lot of TV shows to do their crossover events on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are always big ratings getters, that's for sure, anytime they do a crossover.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also one of those things, like, at a certain point, you'd almost have, like, 2 hours of, like, DC shows, like, a night, like, all week.
Well, I was telling Brian, I was telling him, I said, we should do, I said, what the CW should do is they should do Monday through Thursdays, all new episodes.
Mm.
And then on Fridays, they show all those episodes in a row.
That way you can just catch up if you weren't able to see them.
Right, and you're like, 2 hours, it's basically like 4 hours of superheroes on Friday nights.
It's an entire block at that point. They picked up more, even more so. I don't know, because like they've already kind of added Vixen to like the like Legends of Tomorrow sort of cast. So,
my other thing would be if they do pick up more DC stuff, are they an hour long show or do they become half hour long shows?
Oh, do you like actually have a mix between the two?
You know what I mean? So then you have like.
Well, I think that would depend on the property too, wouldn't it? Like, there's certain shows that might work better in that 20-minute time slot than.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you could probably, instead of just having, you know, where Flash is an hour, Arrow's an hour, Supergirl's an hour, Legends of Tomorrow's an hour, all of a sudden you start having Blue Beetle's 30 minutes.
Plastic Man's
30 minutes, whatever. Poison Ivy, 30 minutes, or, you know, whatever they end up doing. And they make them 30-minute long, and they can throw them in here and there. I don't know.
Could work. What would you say if, let's just say Gotham fails. Hopefully not, but let's just say it does.
There's actually talks about it doing poorly in ratings as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So actually both of them might be on the cutting block here in the next couple seasons.
So if Gotham fails and Batman frees up, could you see Batman coming to the CW? See Bruce Wayne suddenly show up in the Arrowverse, as it were?
Well, technically Batman hasn't been on TV yet. Just Gotham,
right.
So Batman's not really freed up.
Right, I understand, yeah.
Because they haven't... I don't know if they have the rights to Batman. I think that's right. We're seeing villains of Gotham, but not...
Well, I don't know. I thought they kind of Batman. Made that a little bit more lenient here in the last year or so.
But we haven't seen... We haven't even heard Batman or anything Batman-related. It's all been...
Yeah, well, I mean... If you look at where the CW show is now, I could almost see like a Nightwing show more easily than I could see a Batman show.
That's an interesting concept. I hadn't thought about that.
Just do a different variation of Batman?
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, you look at where Supergirl is, and it almost comes across like, you know, that like younger hero in training sort of thing, and that's kind of close to what CW is, with maybe the exception to Arrow, who's a bit older.
What I wouldn't mind seeing is the CW version... since they can't touch Batman for some reason, is do a show, Robin.
Mm.
And they show Robin, and it's basically like him getting the training, so you can always, he's getting the messages or this training from Batman, and then he's creating his own group of Teen Titans, and they have that's how you spread that show out a little bit, like he comes into contact with Magan or whoever, and you build your Teen Titans that way.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
Or Young Justice, even, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually have it kind of set up to where you hit that kind of 18 to 20 demographic sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But they did release Superman onto Supergirl, so I could definitely see maybe a few episodes with the Batman.
Right, they do like a one episode or whatever, like different Superman. Two episodes or whatever it was.
Yeah. So. Like, the thing I think would be an interesting property to touch, but you would be horrible for CW, would be something like Batman Beyond. Whereas I am still waiting for a film version of that.
Actually, that would make a pretty decent TV show.
Oh,
or a Netflix series be
better. Oh, yeah, Netflix it could do really well, but you need, like, a huge budget to do Batman Beyond, visually.
It'd still be pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, as a film, I would love to see it happen. I'm amazed with all the variants of Batman films we've had out there. No one's actually tried to do Batman Beyond.
Other than the fan, yeah. All right. Well, guys, it's been an excellent show. A lot of good conversation, a lot of good review.
Thanks for hosting.
Oh, well, you're welcome this one special time. You're back at hosting duties next show.
Yep.
Just so you know.
It's the new trend.
It's not the new trend. All right. So where can you reach us here at Four Midwest Guys? You can simply go to Google and type in the number 4 Midwest Guys, and there you'll find just about everything, our Facebook page or Twitter page. Definitely reach out to us on Facebook, though. If you find our Facebook page, facebook.com/4MidWestGuys.
Like us.
Like the page. Same with the Twitter. The Twitter's doing fairly well.
And YouTube's doing good, too.
YouTube is doing really well, especially with our Rebels podcast. We had over 65 hits or views on the last Rebels podcast, which will return next week. But reach out to us. Like our page. And also subscribe to us to our feed on iTunes, on Stitcher, on whichever it is. Subscribe so you get all of our different podcasts. It's not just we do so much more. We do the Rebels podcast, the weekly podcast. This is a weekly podcast, just on all the.
We'll be doing our new Doctor Strange podcast. We got the 4-part series coming up for the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, Rogue One mini series coming up. Our special mini series. I've been working on that just this week. Finalizing the notes for that, and so there's all kinds of stuff down the pike. I've just finished watching Luke Cage, so we'll definitely be doing our reviews. Shortly after the first year, we'll do our Netflix reviews of the Defenders so far. The two seasons of Daredevil,
Jessica Jones,
and Luke Cage. So that's coming as well. So. Lots of good stuff coming down the pike. So please reach out to us and find us. You can also reach us on email at the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com as well. Also, on Twitter, if you have any questions for this particular show, #4MGMarvelDCKings, or message us. And we would love to hear back from you. We are starting to get some feedback on our last Rebels podcast. We had a YouTube subscriber give us some feedback, which I'll bring up on that particular show. But if you have questions or comments, reach out to us and let us know. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. This is your show. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no bro.
And this is special one-time only B. Willie host saying, up, up, and away. We'll catch you next time.